Okay, we've been looking at the apostles, and you say, okay, I think ignorance about the apostles is because the history is frustrating for people to learn. And when it comes to the apostles, everybody basically says, okay, Peter was the loudmouth, Judas was the traitor, John was the close one. Beyond that, I don't need to know it. But let me give you a thought before we watch. Ephesians 2 tells us the apostles are foundational for what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. So they were given, in other words, yeah, you can remember 52 Man Street. You can memorize the names of the apostles and things. You know, that's what we do in the children's classes. But more importantly, the example each one of them left is foundational for what we're supposed to do. And God tells us that in Ephesians 2. Now, I didn't want to look at that with you this morning, but we've looked at that. And I think the apostles, it's supposed to go, you know, Lord Jesus, our chief shepherd, right? Our example. Then it's supposed to go the apostles. And you got the apostle Paul in there. Then your pastor. Then the exhortation we get is church, as we come to church, right? So there's some steps there that God gives you to encourage you. And I think the apostles are one of it. Now, when it comes to Judas Iscariot, this is the dark one. Oh yeah, he's the traitor. Well, keep in mind something. There were two Judases, Judas Iscariot and Judas not Iscariot. And he had some Aramaic names, which was Thaddeus and Labias, okay? And Judas, the good one, was called Jude. And no, he did not do the book that's right by Revelation. That was, we believe that was the Lord's brother that God used to pen that. But there's a bad Judas and there's a good Judas. So if you can understand that, simple, look at Psalm 109. And this is a verse that is quoted. Okay, let me see. Look at, okay, the whole psalm, when you read it, is a prophecy of Judas, okay? But most don't think of that. That would be, look at verse 6. Ready? Here we go. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. Okay, these verses, 6 through 8, are quoted in Acts 1 when it talks about Judas committing suicide and dying and going to his place. But most people, when they read Psalm 109, verses 6 through 8, unless you got Judas marked in your Bible or Acts 1, most would never make that connection. But we're reading about Judas Iscariot. Let Satan stand at his right hand. Look at verse 7. Ready? When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. And let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Okay, many have Biden written right next to that verse. That's a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. Okay. But that is I'm glad you're catching a slow freight, right? There's giggles everywhere. Okay. That's in reference to Judas Iscariot would be appointed by the Lord as an apostle. He would have an office, but let his days be few. How long did Judas Iscariot walk with the Lord? 3.5 years, right? We'll come back to that here in just a second. Verse number 9, let his children be fatherless. Let his wife a widow, and his wife a widow. Let his children, because we know he didn't have kids and things like that, but let his children be continually vagabond. So here's this prophecy about Judas. Now, would you go to John 17. Go to John 17 and then I'll show you some things. And I know this, John chapter 17 in the New Testament. Now this is the Lord's Prayer, just so you know. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is not the Lord's Prayer. It should never be called the Lord. The Lord wasn't praying. In John 17, the whole chapter is the Lord praying. And John 17 is called the Lord's Prayer, because that's where he prays for us and the church. Notice what Jesus prays in verse 12. While I was with them, in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You should have written in your Bible right there, that would be Judas. Now, just so you picture it right, Judas was not saved by the Lord and then lost. He didn't lose his salvation. Judas was chosen as an apostle, and out of all the 12 that Jesus chose, that's the one that died and went to hell. Okay, he never got saved, you could say. He's lost. But don't think, some people say, see, Judas was with the Lord and then he went to hell, so he was saved, and Jesus said he lost him. No, he didn't lose his salvation. We know that's not true. Okay, so another thing I want you to notice about verse 12 is Jesus called Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition. And there's only one other time that title is used in the Bible, and that's with the Antichrist. Okay? So, and I'll show you that here in just a second, in 2 Thessalonians. What do we know about Judas? Watch carefully. Okay? Judas Iscariot. Is means the son of Cariot. Most believe that Cariot is a reference to carry off, which Jeremiah, stay with me, Jeremiah 48:24 tells you carry off is in Syria. Why is that important? Judas, man of Cariot, or man of Kerioth in Assyria. Well, here we go. In Isaiah, the Antichrist is called what? The Assyrian. Eight times. Interesting link. Now, but as we get into this, most people, when they study Judas Iscariot, and they say, okay, let's learn, they learn he was the treasurer of the group. God calls him a thief in John 12. And in John 13:29, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which it's interesting. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Okay, so Judas, once again, prophetic that he would betray the Lord. He then betrays the Lord and purchases the field of blood and commits suicide and hangs himself, Acts 1:18. Okay, and of course, Matthew 27 tells that also. But it's interesting. See, here's the whole thing about Judas. Even the Sunday school lesson, okay, lightly goes through and it says, Judas is someone who served the Lord and didn't get saved. So don't you be that type, and I don't think you should be. Are there Christians in church who aren't saved? Are there people in church? Okay, if Jesus could have 12 and one be lost, and he was the God in the flesh, as a pastor, my ratio probably is going to be less as a pastor. So what do you think the ratio in church is of saved people to lost people? Probably 1 to 10 or 1 to 11? In other words, in church, you could probably, in most churches that are Bible-believing, you could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, saved, lost. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, everybody see the ratio? If that was the Lord's ratio, then yeah, there's lost people in church. So most people, when they teach on Judas, will say, now don't you be faithful to church and tithe and go soul winning and forget to get saved like Judas did. Because Judas went to hell. Because many will say unto me, Matthew 7, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And yet will I say unto them, I never knew you. Okay, Judas is not somebody that I would use as an example of someone who was religious and lost. You say, well, who would you use? Nicodemus, John chapter 3, a religious ruler that Jesus said, you need to be born again. You're lost. You know the Bible, you've memorized it, but you're lost. How about Acts 10, Cornelius? Prayed always, gave much alms to the temple, yet God had to send Peter to him to lead him to Christ, right? I would use those examples. I don't know that I'd ever use Judas. You say, how come? Couple of reasons. Just stay with me. In John 6, Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? He called Judas the devil, okay? Then if you look at all of the conversations that our Lord had with Judas Iscariot, there were four responses. In John 12, one of the Marys comes in and breaks a ointment over Jesus' head, and It says Judas went, oh, we could have spent that money on the poor. And Jesus said what to Judas? This is the first response to Judas. Let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. That's the first rebuke Jesus gives Judas. How many times did Jesus tell Peter, oh, ye of little faith, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. You know what I mean? You savor the things that be of man, not the things that be of God. Okay? Yet, how many times did... Well, watch this. That was the first one. Let her alone. Matthew 12. They're sitting there at the Lord's Supper. One of you is going to betray me. And Judas asks him, Lord, is it I? And Jesus looks right at Judas Iscariot and said, thou sayest. That's another word, way of saying, yes, you're the one. Poof! Right over his head. You would have thought, oh, I'm going to betray you. None of the other disciples caught it either. Right? Everybody's sitting there eating. Watch this. Number three. John 13, Jesus tells Judas, what thou doest, do thou quickly. Go out and betray me. I know you're the one. Then, in Luke 22, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, last conversation with Judas. Judas comes up with the men, and he's told them, the one that I kiss is the Son of Man. And what did Jesus say to him? Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Okay. Four conversations Jesus had with Judas, and not one of them. You can't tell. In John 13, 2, it says Satan filled Judas. Not tempted him, filled him. He became Satan incarnate when Jesus washed their feet. And you can't tell me Jesus didn't know that. He knew Satan was right there. And not one time did Jesus ever go to Judas and say, Judas, come on, you know you're not saved. I know you're not saved. Come on, let's not be foolish and spend 3.5 years with me and die and go to hell. Not one time. I think Jesus knew who Judas was. I think he knew who Judas would fulfill, Psalm 109. He knew the prophecy, Zechariah chapter 11. And this is a strong statement. I don't think Judas could have gotten saved. Okay, I think Jesus knew who Judas was. Amen? He was God in the flesh. Okay? Now, later on it says he regretted it. You say, why you say all that? I think there's a lot more to Judas than somebody that served the Lord, went to church, and gave their money, and forgot to get saved. I think there's a lot more prophecy in Judas that points to the Antichrist. Okay, let me show you. Take your Bible and go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and go to Acts chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1. Now, with a Sunday school lesson like this, I think it'd be awesome? This provokes Bible study, okay? When I taught this on Wednesday night, nobody had heard this before. And I'm not trying to teach something new. I'm trying to say, I think the teaching of Judas has a lot more Bible in it than is normally put in it. Okay? I'll say that. I think Judas is very prophetic in pointing to the Antichrist. And are you there in 2 Thessalonians? Do you see Acts 1? Let's look at Acts 1 first and then go to 2 Thessalonians. Acts 1, okay? Acts chapter 1. Okay, it says here, verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. And just notice the last phrase, and that he might go to his own place. It's very interesting that Judas is not recorded. He did die. His body died. But it's interesting, he's the only one in the Bible that God records after he passed. And you say, well, he went to hell. He went to his own place. That's the only person in the Bible that's mentioned. Now, you're getting Pastor Nash's overview right now. You're free to disagree. Agreeing or disagreeing on this isn't going to send anybody to hell, okay? I'm just trying to dive into a topic that I really think is worth thinking about. Okay, he went to his own place. Now go to 2 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 2. And these are verses that I think really need to be considered when you're looking at this topic. Okay, and then don't take this too far. I watched one person do a Bible study on, is Judas Iscariot the Antichrist? No. Judas is not going to resurrect and come back as the Antichrist. I do not believe that. But I believe Judas was a picture of the Antichrist who's coming because of how he betrayed the Lord. And I'll show you just a few more things here. Watch this. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And is that what I put up there? Yeah, verse 3. Ready? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, or an apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, that's a direct prophecy of the Antichrist. Now, here's the way most Bible teachers, and I agree with it, I don't have a problem with it, the tribulation after the rapture, we go to heaven, and the tribulation 7 years. It's divided into 3.5 years and 3.5 years. So the first part of the tribulation, the Antichrist is called the man of sin. But when you read Revelation 13, 3 and 12, it says twice, he receives a deadly wound that is healed. Everybody knows that is, he's going to be killed and he's going to rise from the dead. When does that happen? He's going to have to be able to say, see, I'm the real Christ. That was, and he'll point 2,000 years ago, that was the fake Christ. I am the Messiah. I have died and risen again. Revelation says, and 17:8 is a reference. He goes to his own place, and then he is resurrected. When you read, okay, you can't be daydreaming right now, or you're going to talk, I'm going to totally lose you, okay? Everybody still with me? He dies, he is resurrected, and Revelation 12:9 says Satan is cast out of heaven. And then he personifies the Antichrist. Okay? And for the next 3.5 years, the Antichrist rules the earth as the son of perdition. In the first 3.5 years, he was the man of sin. Just like it said in verse 3. In the last part, he becomes the son of perdition. S-O-P. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, he that dippeth his sop. And he's talking about Jew. It makes, in the Bible, awesome. Amen. What is son of perdition? Okay, here we go. That's probably just a coincidence. Ha! Okay, so watch this. Just like Judas was with Jesus 3.5 years and then was filled with Satan the night of the Lord's Supper and betrayed the Lord, so the Antichrist will be 3.5 years and then he will become Satan in the flesh for the next 3.5 years. Okay, food for thought. I don't know that that'll change anybody's life here, but it ought to help you put you in awe at the Bible. Amen? In other words, can Judas be an illustration of somebody who went to church and served the Lord and forgot to get saved, and now don't you do that, and don't you go to church and spend your life serving the Lord and die and go to hell? Okay, yes, in a light way. I don't think that's bad. I just think there's a lot more to Judas Iscariot prophetically pointing to us to. Aren't we glad we're not going through the tribulation period? Amen? Aren't we looking forward to Jesus coming and understanding the son of perdition and the darkness of the tribulation period where they'll experience the wrath of the Lamb? Okay? So, that's... I take a picture of the board or that. This, I don't believe, is in your Sunday school lesson. Okay? This is extra, okay? This is Pastor Nash drippings, okay? But this morning, we have a few minutes left. This is the bad Judas. Let's look at the good Judas, okay? The good Judas had most referred to him as Thaddeus. You know, isn't it funny? The traitor names. Have you ever met a kid named Benedict? Most don't name their kids Benedict because of Benedict Arnold. Most don't name their kids Judas. You know, and I've never met anybody since World War II named Adolf. Okay, so it's just interesting, you know, names from the Bible. But Thaddeus was his Aramaic name, and it means dear to the heart. And he was the son of James in Luke 6:16. Most, it does not say, so this is speculation, but most hold to, and history shows, that Judas and Simon were brothers, okay? Now, Simon, his brother, preached in Egypt. This is after the Lord's ascension. He preached in North Africa, Egypt, Cyrene, Africa, Libya, and then went up to Great Britain. Remember with Joseph of Arimathea, where the borrowed tomb, Mary's uncle, right? He had land in Great Britain, and there are buildings to this day where he went and preached the gospel. Simon went to Great Britain. It wasn't hard to get there. All you had to do was follow the coast around till you got up to Great Britain. You'd have to go deep ocean sailing, you know what I mean? You just followed the coast, and it took you up to the strait there. So he goes to the islands of Great Britain. At the end of his life, right around 70 AD, he meets his brother Judas in Persia, okay? And Judas, after the ascension, he preached north of Israel in Mesopotamia and Syria and Arabia and Edessa, and both of them meet in Persia. You say, why is this important? Because I told you, to study the good apostles, you're going to come up with two conclusions of things that we're supposed to be doing. Soul winning and church planting. That's our heritage. That's our foundation from the apostles. Every one of them. Every one of them. Okay? So, they do this in their areas. They meet in Persia. And Nero did not have them killed. Judas was accepted by the king there in Persia. The king enjoyed him. And when he died, a new king came, and Judas led his brother to Christ. This has all happened fairly quick. He led the king's brother to the Lord, and the king got so angry, he said, you've perverted my brother. He's no longer of this religion. He said, I didn't pervert him, I converted him. And they had Judas, I think it's in your Sunday school lesson, but they had him whipped and burned with irons, and then hung upside down and beheaded so he couldn't talk and all this. And he died in a very bloody way. He had both his brothers killed. Nero did not kill Judas like he had Paul's head cut off, but he died during Nero's persecution, period. Okay? That was there. Now, let's wrap up the Sunday school lesson. Go to John 14, and let's look at the one conversation that Judas, not Iscariot, had with Jesus, and let's pull some beautiful little truths from it, devotional truths. This is just a beautiful section. John chapter 14, and if you want to see how Jesus is teaching the disciples, John 13, 14, and 15, Jesus is preparing them for him to leave. So three chapters of Jesus saying, I'm going to teach you some things. You're not even going to be able to understand everything, but you'll pull from it later. John 13, 14, and 15 is just, I'm sorry, 14, 15, and 16 is so wonderful and foundational. But watch this. John 14, look at verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Do you see what Judas is asking him? How are we going to know it's you? How are you going to show yourself to us? And you know what's beautiful about this? Is he that hath, and keeps. Hath means you know. You know my commandments. Keeps means you guard to live. What I know of the Bible and what I live of the Bible is linked by one thing. Verse 21 says, and this is a beautiful truth. It helps me in my Christian life, okay? You only live the Bible that you know because of your love for the Lord. And when your obedience wanes, it's because your love is waning. Everybody see that in verse 21? That'll take you a long way in the Christian life. And when we get backslidden, and we don't love the Lord like we should, and we're doing things that we know are wrong, what's wrong with me? I know that's wrong. It's because of who you love is suffering. And if you would just fall in love with the Lord again, you would watch your obedience go up. That's a beautiful Bible truth. Now let's examine that in link with what Judas asked Jesus. How are you going to manifest yourself to us? Because it looks like verse 21, this is a good statement. We shouldn't play favorites. I mean, God doesn't play favorites, but we should. God should be your favorite, and there shouldn't be any idols in front of your heart, right? And when you make God your favorite, he says, I'll show myself to you in a very unique way that I won't show myself to other people. Now, God loves us all the same, right? But you don't enjoy God's love until you make him number one, right? Until you decide to love the Lord back, you don't enjoy the Lord. You put up with the Lord, okay? Look at verse 23. Look at how Jesus answers. He's going to break the statement down more. And I just think this is beautiful to look at. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Most of us, okay, if you've been in church a little while, most of us don't need to learn more Bible to fix what's wrong in our life that frustrates us. Well, okay, I'm for memorizing Scripture. Most of us need to fall in love with the Lord again. Because when you love Jesus and you were so thankful to be saved, he couldn't ask anything of you that was too difficult, right? And our obedience is directly linked to our love.
Well, they just need a 14-point Bible study on what's wrong with lying.
Okay, I'm for a 14-point Bible study. I can give you 14 verses that shows you lying's wrong. But your lying will get fixed, and your frustration with yourself will get fixed when you decide, you know what? I don't love the Lord like I used to. And if I just fall in love with the Lord and care more, the lying has a tendency to take care of itself. Amen? Look at the next verse, because he gives two things. How are you going to manifest yourself to us? How are we going to know it's you? What a beautiful question Judas, not Iscariot, asks the Lord. And look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. What a beautiful teaching. You cannot understand what I'm teaching you right now, but you'll know it's me if you'll just work at loving me and being led of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the answer to Judas's question in verse 22. I love the simplicity. It's a beautiful devotional truth that has helped me through my Christian life. This morning, we looked at the bad Judas, and we looked at the good Judas, and I love ending on this note, and I hope this is an encouragement to you. Isn't your Bible wonderful? It's just, what a book. I just, the more you learn about it, the more you're in awe of it. Okay.